Be in 1 John 3 today, I promise. You guys look like you could use a laugh. I don't know any good jokes. I know some bad jokes, so how about a bad joke? How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it, that's right. I must have told that one before. Or the rest of you have little guys in your house who read popsicle sticks. 38. First John chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. If you want this to be your Father's Day sermon, this is a good Father's Day sermon. It's not Father's Day, but this is a great Father's Day sermon. So if you want to consider this that, you can. The Father's Day sermon won't be so good. So I'm not saying this is a great sermon. I'm just saying this would be great if it were on Father's Day. But I didn't want to put it off till then. 1 John chapter 3, we're in verse 1, and we're going to work down through verse number 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day, beautiful weather, the rain yesterday. Thank you for the time this morning reading your word and singing your word. Lord, now as we look to preach your word, we just pray a blessing upon this time. Come, Holy Spirit, lead and guide and direct us now. Help us to be conformed to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. 1 John 3, great, great, great verses in the Bible. I want to talk to you today about the Father's love. This is a song, or it can be sung as a song. You may have heard this. How many of you have heard this sung as a song before? All right, a few of us. Y'all want to hear it sung as a song. You already heard a bad joke. You might as well hear a bad singer. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God. And then you guys have to repeat. That's how the song goes. So when I say, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, then you say it right back. Y'all want to try that? I'm going to take that as a yes. I'm also going to assume y'all want to take up a special love offering this morning too, if that's all right. But anyway, that's 1 John chapter 3. You know, when you're dealing with anything of value, you have, I'm sure, some of you may have in your day-to-day job, it's important to be able to spot a counterfeit. If you handle money, you need to be able to spot counterfeit money. Or if you deal with fine art or anything of value that's the real thing, and then there's counterfeits out there or knockoffs or other versions, it's important that you're able to spot a counterfeit. Well, that brings about the question, how do you best identify a fake? Oddly enough, you don't learn to identify a fake by spending hours upon hours examining counterfeits. Rather, you learn to identify a counterfeit through a study of the real thing. If you come to know the real thing well enough, it becomes very easy to know what is not. You talk to people that work at banks who touch a lot of real money, they can usually pretty quickly spot a counterfeit just by the look or the feel of it when they get it in their hands. Anybody ever worked at a bank? You know what I'm talking about there? Nobody? Okay. Well, that's all right. But you get the idea. Studying the real thing, you become so familiar with what is authentic, you can easily spot a counterfeit. That's sort of John's approach to chapter number 3 here as he writes. We're going to use verse 10 as our anchor verse as we study through chapter 3. He says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This verse here is what John is working up to, and it's also what he's going to cast off from for the remainder of the chapter and also the remainder of 1 John here. And in it, he warns us that in today's world, there are counterfeit Christians, children of the devil, he calls them, But instead of listing, and I love how he does this, instead of listing all the evil characteristics of Satan's children, John gives us a clear description of God's children. Glass half full. Aren't you glad instead of a glass half empty? Can you imagine me giving you 3 or 4 weeks of sermons here, listing all the characteristics of Satan's children and how wicked they are and how awful they are? That would become rather depressing. You may not want to be at church. But John doesn't do that. He goes on the positive end, and he helps us to study the real thing. Helps us to become familiar with what is authentic so that when we do encounter a counterfeit, it becomes real to us. This is what it all begins with, noting how much the Father loves us, His children. John shows us this two ways this morning, by who we are and by who we will be. So see the Father's love with me this morning. First, with who we are. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We are the sons of God. That's who we are. We're His children. That's exciting. I don't know if you write in your Bible. I hope that you write in your Bible. I heard someone say one time, mark your Bible and it'll mark you. I think that's wisdom. Write all in your Bible. I know it's precious and I know it's special, but it's not so special and precious that you can't make notes in there. And let me tell you, someday you're going to die. Nod your head, because I know we're all in denial. We don't want to, but someday that's going to happen. And your family is going to fight over your stuff, right? You know what happens? No, I want that candle holder. No, I want that candle holder. It's a special candle holder just for me. And somebody's going to get your Bible, somebody younger than you, and they're going to look all through your Bible. And things that you wrote in there, things that you made notes about, are going to be very special to them and may help them through a time in their life when they encounter a scripture that helped you to see you made notes there to help them. So write in your Bible. And if you write in your Bible, write where it says, called the sons of God, write, we are. We are called the sons of God, and we are sons of God. We can see the Father's love in who we are, His children. We're not only called the sons of God, we actually are children of God by the new birth. This was God's intention for His people from the beginning. But we, knowing ourselves, can only marvel at that thought. I have days when I wonder, am I really a son of God? Would I have done that? Would I have thought this? Would I have acted in that way? Were the Holy Spirit of God abiding in me? So I have these days. I know myself. So when I think of the thought of I am a son of God, I can only marvel at that thought. This is why John can say, behold, what manner of love. See how great a love God has given to us. We got to go to a baseball game this week, and the new sounds, the stadium was very pretty. It was really neat. But the most interesting thing that I saw, well, probably the most interesting thing, never mind. Let me get back on subject here. Got to see a Cy Young winning Hall of Fame pitcher, future Hall of Fame pitcher, pitch in the minor leagues and not do so good. That was pretty interesting to watch that. If you don't, anyway, okay, back on. This man and lady went out on the field there, and they did like they were going to, between innings, quiz them on things. You know, they try to keep the crowd into the game. So they asked a man some questions. They put it up on the big board there about baseball, and he had to answer the question. And the audience was all, we were all screaming at him, you know, it's B, no, it's A, you know, and he had to pick. And then they were going to ask the girl a question. Well, guess what question she got asked on the big screen? Will you marry me? Well, that was something. We all said, behold, what manner of love. No, I said, that guy is crazy. That's what I said. What if she says no? You're in front of all of these people. Where are you going to go? I mean, there's nowhere to hide. John says here, see how great a love God has given to us. John gives a double focus here. He says we're made the sons of God. But he kind of puts some emphasis more on something else in saying that we have been shown great love in being made sons of God. That's great. I mean, it's great to think that we've been made sons of God as God's children, but it's even more marvelous to think that in doing this, we've been shown great love. It's wonderful. The adjective form for which we derive the words what manner John says, behold, what manner of love. This word is only used seven times in all of the New Testament. And each time it implies astonishment. It's not used in, you know, just mundane things. It implies astonishment. The word in its original use meant of what country? Think of what John is saying there. Stott says, he says, the Father's love is so unearthly, so foreign to this world, that John wonders from what country it may come. Behold, from what country is such love come that we should be called God's sons? We know it's not of this world. It's love from another world. This love is divine in nature. It is a love that originates only with the Father. It is love that is ever seeking our welfare. One author writes, in spite of man's unloveliness, God sets His mind and will on seeking man's highest good. This is what's amazing about God's love. This is the Father's love, which He hath bestowed upon us. He has lavished us in His love, the results of which are permanent and cannot be earned or bought. He bestowed, He gave us freely, and it cannot be withdrawn. I hope that makes you feel good. Does it make you feel good to know you were loved that much? You may have come to church this morning and thinking, nobody loves me. Well, God loves you. God the Father loves you this much. But don't forget, there's a dual focus here. John writes this. He is focusing on how much the Father loves us, but he's focusing on how much the Father loves us to make a greater point to us. God has not just shown us His love. He has given it to us in such a way that it becomes part of us. God's love provides the way for us to be called children of God. It has transformed us into His children. We are now members of the family. We are God's children. We are divine descendants. John wrote of this similarly in his gospel. In chapter number 1 of the gospel of John, in verse 12 and verse 13, he writes, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Do you ever feel out of place? Do you ever feel like you just don't belong? That's what John says there at the end of verse number 1. He says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." You see, having become a son of God, we begin to be less like the world. The world didn't know Him. The world didn't understand Him. The world didn't accept Jesus when He came. This world knows us not, just as it knew Him not. Then we move on to verse number 2, as John speaks of who we will be. We understand the Father's love in who we are, but we can understand it more fully in who we will be. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So who will we be? When He appears, we shall be like Him. We will finally be completely conformed to the image of Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "Whom He did foreknow, them He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's what's happening to us. As children, we sang it. We said, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars." And I can't remember the rest of the song, but it goes on to say, "He's still working on me." Well, that's the children's way of saying we are being conformed to the image of Christ. That is what is happening to you. Sanctification. From the moment of salvation, you are justified. For the rest of your life, you are being sanctified to finally be glorified, to take on a form, a glorified body, no more sin cursed, no more unrighteousness, no more carnal nature. You'll have a glorified body. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. John's referring here to the return of Christ for the church. In this also we see the vastness of the Father's love. Not only does He make us His sons, but also we see here that His love continues with us throughout our entire lives, right up until we see Christ. Well, that's encouraging. Do you ever have days where you wonder, am I still saved? Can I lose my salvation? Well, those are big questions. If you're not grounded in the Word, those can become real thoughts for you, real things to wonder about. Or maybe even if you don't wonder, am I still saved or can I lose my salvation? Maybe you're just wondering, does Jesus care? Even the disciples right there in the middle of a boat with Him on that same boat said, does Jesus care? John encourages us this morning, not only encouraging us that we cannot lose our salvation, and then encouraging us that Jesus does truly care by saying, when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Behold, how great a love the Father has given to us that we should be called the sons of God. And when He appears, we will finally be like Him. It's a continual process, and Jesus is right there with us all along the way, right up until we see Him. God doesn't bring children into spiritual life to then abandon them. He makes us alive to then make us completely like Jesus and to take us with Him into heaven. What did Jesus tell us about that process? He said, all that the Father hath promised me, what? Will come to me. I'll have them at the last day, Jesus said. You are promised by God to His Son. You guys ever promise your children anything? If you have children like mine, they remind you of the things you promised them. Well, Dad, you said. We have a new rule around my house within about the last year or so. Now that two of them have gotten old enough to remind me of things, don't quote me back to myself. You are forbidden. I know what I said. I am me. Those words came out of my mouth. I am sure that I know what I said. Don't tell me. Dad, we'll be driving down the road. Dad, can we stop at Krispy Kreme? Yes, we can stop at Krispy Kreme. I can't say no to that. I like Krispy Kreme. We'll go by an exit, and they'll see a Krispy Kreme sign. Dad, you said we could stop at Krispy Kreme. I didn't mean that Krispy Kreme. I just meant at some point we can stop at Krispy Kreme. Cut me some slack here. We got to go. But God doesn't bring us into spiritual life to abandon us. He makes us alive. He makes us completely like Jesus. And He plans to take us to heaven. Now, John says here he doesn't know fully what we will be. I don't either. You don't either. And I'm glad John writes it that way. But he does know that when Christ appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Now that's an interesting way to think about it. You ever tried to mirror someone? Y'all ever played this game? Will a young person help me this morning? Do I have a young person who wants to help me? Ty, would you come up and help me? Are you too shy? I'm shy. I wouldn't come up here and help me. You don't mind? Come up here. Do you know what I'm gonna, you know how to play copycat? Okay. Does he know how to play copycat, girls? Yes, yes. All right, come on. Stand up in that chair so everybody can see you. Get really high. There you go. Okay, do everything that I'm doing. Say everything that I'm saying. My name's not Ty. I love girls. I don't pick my nose. No, you went to the wrong side. Okay, thank you very much. That's pretty good. I should have let you lead. You'd have been better at it than me. But could you imagine me telling Ty to come up here and stand and not look at me and to mirror me, turn his back to me and look that way, and I'm looking this way, and I'm telling him, now do everything that I'm doing. You can't see me, but do everything that I'm doing. Would that have been easy, Ty? No, that would have been impossible. It's pretty hard to do, even when you're standing looking at the person watching them, especially if you want to do it quick to make it funny, right? John says here, I don't know what we're going to be, but I do know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because then we will see Him as He is. We are being conformed to the image of Christ now, and we do have God's Word on it, but there's going to come a day when we're going to see Him face to face. Do you realize how easy it's going to be to become like Him through the power of God? We're given glorified bodies, and then there we are right there with Him and see Him. Well, that's going to be great. Notice the sequence that John uses here. First, he says, Jesus shall appear, and that's our hope. That's not to be undermined here. That's important. But second, he says, we shall see him. Now, this will not be mere spiritual, and it won't be an impersonal return. Acts 1 teaches us that this same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way which you've seen him go into heaven. You've probably had an impersonal encounter with someone very important. You know, you've all seen the president, right? On TV. So you've seen the president of the United States of America. You could all say, you've all seen the Queen of England on TV. That was very impersonal. She couldn't see you back. You could say hello, but they couldn't say, you know, tell the Queen, hey to Gomer. Couldn't do that, right? It was very impersonal. The return of Christ is not going to be this way. Just as you, the angels came down and said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus, which has been taken from you, will come again just as you've seen him go. Now that was a promise to them, but to all of us too. Now I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be, but I feel like I'm going to be able to shake hands with him. Maybe they don't shake hands in heaven. They may fist bump to keep the germs away. I don't know. But I feel like it's not going to be an impersonal return. The third thing we see in the sequence John uses here is, first, Jesus will appear. Second, we shall see him. Third, we will be made like him. Boyce says, John seems almost to suggest that there is something in the mere sight of the glorified Christ that will purge his followers of sin and conform them at last to his own perfect image. I don't know if that's true. That seems to be the way John is leading us here this morning, but can you imagine the thought of that? That just something in the mere sight of Christ will finally make us just like him. Paul wrote a little like this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Wonderful song, wonderful thought. So this is who we will be. This is who we are now. Which leaves us to consider, and John to write of in verse number 3, who should we be? Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you have this hope in you this morning? Is God your Father? This is the Father's love. It makes you who you are. It promises you who you will be. And John says here this morning that it should cause you to be who you should be. Consider the Father's love. Consider how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. How deep the Father's love. The Father's love shows us who we should be. Wiersbe says, because the Father loved us and sent his Son to die for us, we are now the children of God. Because God loves us, he wants to live with us one day. Salvation from start to finish is an expression of the love of God. We are saved by the grace of God, but the provision for our salvation originated in the love of God. Had the Father's love not been so deep, Father's grace would not be. We are saved by grace, but our salvation originated in the love of God. And since we have experienced the Father's love, we no longer should have a desire to live in sin. That's not to say we won't sin. We've dealt with that already in chapter 1, chapter 2. But we shouldn't have that desire anymore. An unbeliever who sins is a creature sinning against Creator. That's understandable. But a Christian who sins is a child sinning against his Father. The unbeliever sins against the law, but the believer sins against love. Do you guys ever trespass the law? Do you ever trespass the law on purpose and like it? I'm going to go 85 just because I can. If they don't catch me, then they don't catch me. There aren't any police in here this morning. Are I don't go 85. You know, we trespass the law sometimes. It's meaningless. I mean, even if you get called, it's just $300, right? Just money. But there's a difference in trespassing the law, sinning against the law, than sinning against love. When you and I, children of God, sin, we're not sinning against law. Christ fulfilled the law for us. We're sinning against the Father's love. Having this hope, we should purify ourselves as He is pure, John says. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. There were a group of teenagers having a party one night. And you know, as parties go, the better things got, the better things had to go, had to be. So someone suggested they go to another place, because at this place they could really enhance the good time that they were having. Well, one young lady who'd probably taken it a little too far, she said, "I'd rather you guys just take me home because my parents don't approve of that place." Well, someone sarcastically said to her, "Are you afraid if your daddy finds out he's going to whip you and hurt you?" "No," she replied. "I'm not afraid my father will hurt me, but I'm afraid I might hurt him." A true child of God who has experienced the love of God has no desire to sin against His love. This is the Father's love. It is who we are. It is who we will be. It's who we should be. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself. So I ask you this morning as we come to our time to pray, who are you? Is this who you are? Is this who you intend to be? Is that your hope? Are you being what you should be? The Father has loved you with a great love, with a deep love, with a love that left an earthly author to say, "Where did such love come from? Of what country?" Who are you this morning? Let's stand and pray. If God's not your father, then you're of your father, the devil. Submit yourself this morning to the love of the Father. He's loved you with a great love. He's paid a great price for you. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And confess Him, Lord, before men. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. Today is the day of salvation. Come and let me show you in God's Word how to become a Christian. Let God the Father be your Father. If you're here today and you are a child of God, and this is who you are, this is who you will be, are you being who you should be? If you're not, you're not sinning against the law. You're not sinning against the preacher. You're not sinning against the church. You're sinning against Almighty God, who loved you so much that He gave His only Son for you. What are you dabbling in this morning? What is it that you're taking up like someone would take up a rattlesnake and say, "I can handle this thing. It won't bite me. It's just a little sin that I can control." Would you get that out of your life this morning? Would you confess that to your Father? Ask Him to forgive you. Go home and clean that out of your life. Give yourself fully to Him.